If you've been studying with us and you know that we have been going through the book of Acts, we started as a follow-up to what we were studying in the book of John. And so this morning, and I just want you to consider as we look up at the slide, what we've been talking about is considering the path from the tomb to the world. We've been talking about walking in the ways of Jesus. And so we're going to continue this, and if you've studied the book of Acts before, you'll see that typically it's broken up into two halves, chapter 1 through chapter 12, and then chapter 13 on through the end of the book. And so what we're going to do this week, we've been taking different portions of the book of Acts up to chapter 12. We did chapter 12 last week, and then what we're going to do is we're going to take a break for a couple of weeks, and you'll understand why as I give you some thoughts in just a minute. And then we're going to be looking, if you think about the missionary journeys and all that took place and was recorded in Acts chapter 13 through the end of the book, it is the absolute living out of the path, walking in the ways of Jesus from the tomb to the world, because the gospel was being carried. So what I would like for us to do is view the book of Acts through yet another lens this morning. Now, in many of your Bibles, if you open up and you look at the heading for the book of Acts, it typically says the Acts of the Apostles. And then what we've asked you to consider is a different lens, and we've said the Acts of the Apprentice. So if you see all these apprentices that are now being handed off the mission of the church, but this morning I want to give you one more subtitle, and I want you to think about the book of Acts as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So from the beginning of Acts, you see this transition, and it chronicles the launching of the early church and the reality of Jesus' teaching to his apprentice. So they had walked, they had talked with him, they'd hung out with him, and then you see this transition. It's the reality of the transition from Jesus living on the planet to the Holy Spirit being sent to continue the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Son of the living God. So the Holy Spirit is sent to continue the work worldwide. Now, with this in mind, this is a question I have for us this morning. This is a title. This is the thing I want us to consider. What does this look like for us today? All that we've been talking about, and some within our church family are considering the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, in a totally different way than maybe what your tradition has presented to you. Some of you are working through different things, but as we're looking at all this, what does it look like for us? I had an honest question posed to me by someone who is growing in their understanding of what it is to walk in the ways of Jesus. So I want you to understand that this is a very solid person. This person has trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, been baptized down at the river, one of our river baptisms. This person is reading and studying the Bible regularly, not just reading, but digging in. And this person is also learning how to pray. And this same person asked a group of us, what does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And so within the context of that question, it created dialogue, and there were certain statements made in response to that. And I don't want to read some of these to you, because I think that if we're just going to really be honest with ourselves this morning, there's a lot of us within the sound of my voice that have these same things going on inside as we're looking at the Acts of the Holy Spirit is revealed in the narrative here. I don't hear the voice of the Lord speaking to me personally. One of the responses, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And one of the responses was, well, I don't hear the voice of the Lord speaking to me. Some of you here this morning, you understand what I just read. I am not overcome or touched by some deep range of emotions. Another one. I don't sense these huge directional leadings. Someone else said, I don't know that I have ever experienced or seen miracles like what I read about in the New Testament. And some of you I know because of personal conversations I've had with you, then what it winds up leading is we're doing this evaluation, then what it winds up, oftentimes I have had people say, I question myself. Like with some of these statements being made, I question myself regarding my own faith and whether I am truly born again. I question whether the Holy Spirit truly lives within me. Now, understand, evaluation and analysis and different scrutinizing of your motives in your heart, that's something that I live with daily. I'm constantly looking within myself. But what I want, the reason that we're addressing this morning, and we're taking a couple of Sundays to look in between, we're taking this break in between chapter 12 and launching into chapter 13 as we continue, because I think it's super important. This is some of the dialogue that has come out from our study thus far. So what that means is, if you are genuinely questioning your faith based on the things that we're reading and studying, that's not what we are desiring to be the outcome of this study. What our desire is that you're going to dig in and work through and understand on a greater level the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit and what that means in your own personal life. Because here's the thing, and we say this regularly, none of us have perfect faith. None of us have perfect belief. Even the apostles that got to see Jesus firsthand, they said, help our unbelief. It was a common theme. And so what I want us to do is just dig in, and I want you to consider some things this morning as we're talking. Because I'm going to ask you again, what does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? There seems to be a natural embracing, and I hope this makes sense. So follow along. If it doesn't, raise your hand, yell at me, whatever. Because it's important that there's understanding here. There seems to be a natural embracing of extremism in the church, and I say big C, big church, not just our church, when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that there's a lot of extremism out there. I've experienced it. I have been on one side of the extremism, and I've tried to be honest with you about that. It seems very clear that there is an either or approach to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now follow along what I mean by that. This extreme perspective of, think about this, in the flesh. You're in the flesh. You're in your humanity. You're making choices. You've got these things. You're doing things you don't necessarily want to do. You're in the flesh. And so what I see, this extremism over here of being in the flesh, typically is interpreted as there is no spirit presence over here. Are you tracking with me? So there's this extreme that in the flesh, no spirit presence. Then there is this full of the Holy Spirit over here. And typically what that means is just, there's this interpretation as completely overcome by the presence of the Holy Spirit with unbelievable experiences nonstop. Almost like this. Almost as a lifestyle. Like almost as if this being hooked to 220 all the time. Can you see these two extremes? Either or. And I'll be honest, what I see most often in the church is this side over here. And so what I want us to consider this morning is the reality of this struggle. And if you can see this either or perspective in your own life and in what is presented in church, then I think that it will be very helpful, because it's one of these. Think about this, this either or. Either I'm a sinful slug, or I'm experiencing this magical walk. Get what I'm saying? That was goofy looking. You can laugh. Either or. And see, what I want us to do this morning is have an honest, heartfelt presentation about trying to understand the deeper reality of what does it really mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit for us right now. And so this is what I'm asking you to do this morning. For some of you, this is going to be super hard. But I'm going to ask you to remove the extremes. And instead of saying either or, can we just say both? Both. Not sinful slug, not magical fairy dust walk, but can we combine them and do away with the either or and say both? This is what I want you to consider. Peter in Acts, but especially in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and following, we looked at it last week, but I want to highlight some things because I've had conversations, especially with some of the men, the last 2 or 3 weeks, bouncing this idea and considering this. Consider the powerful displays of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's presence through Peter's life from the day of Pentecost on. Think about some of the things that he did. He raised a woman from the dead, and if you're one of those that says, I don't believe that took place, well, I believe it. I believe in a powerful God. He raised somebody from the dead. He was healing people. There's all kinds of beautiful, amazing things going on. And so people even thought, they even tried to worship Peter as one of the gods. They thought one of the Greek gods had come back, and so they were trying to worship him. And then yet, in Acts chapter 12, he is now captured, and he's chained between two soldiers as a normal human being. Now, for this extreme over here, we would naturally think that Peter, who's got all these powers, you'd think he's like, you know, some superhero, that they're going to come to chain him up and he's going to be like, boom, and they're just going to fall back and he's never going to be in prison or put in chains. You get what I'm saying? Let's just talk about the reality of how we apply some of these extreme views over here, that here Peter is now powerless. And he's in jail, and he's chained to a soldier on either side like a normal human being. You know why he's chained like a normal human being? Because Peter has been a normal human being struggling with his own humanity since he met Jesus face to face and just started following him. Are you tracking with me? And nothing changed. So Peter is here in jail and chained because he is a normal human being. Now, this is what I want to ask you to do. I'm going to give you a quick overview. If you go back and look at the humanity, the reality of each one of these, Acts chapter 11, look at Barnabas. He was a normal human being. Experiencing the power of God, but a normal human being, a normal life. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, same thing. Normal human being. Saul, Acts chapter 9, angry, mean, vengeful, vindictive normal human being. Don't tell me if you relate to that. I don't want to know. Okay? Acts chapter 8, Philip, another normal human being that is experiencing the Holy Spirit. Stephen, in Acts 6 and 7, one of the things we've talked about. A normal guy that was serving Jesus, drawing close, full of the Holy Spirit, and they said, this dude's special. Stephen, the same way. I'm going to throw you a wrench. For some of you, you look at Ananias and Sapphira through a certain lens. Acts chapter 5. I really want you to take and look at Acts chapter 5 and consider the whole dialogue about their relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's wooing and involvement in their lives and the fact that they were trying to con God, the Holy Spirit, through their actions and what was going on in their heart. If you really allow that to sink in and look, that's going to make you go, something to think about. Peter and John, Acts chapter 3 and 4, they're again just normal guys. Think about this. The Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper. Remember what we sang just a few minutes ago? We are not alone. We are not alone. The Comforter, the Helper, was actively involved and working in the lives of literally thousands of people. When we read these conversion stories, and it says 3,000 were added here, 2,000 were added here. The Scripture's teaching and showing, because these early Jewish leaders were saying, oh my word, the Holy Spirit is coming onto, and the Holy Spirit is indwelling both Jews and Gentiles. And they were blown away. So these are normal, everyday human beings experiencing the Holy Spirit. Normal people like us who are learning to walk in the ways of Jesus' teaching by learning to embrace this new presence in their lives to help them, comfort them, and guide them. He is the Holy Spirit. So guess what? We still have, but some of us have a more difficult learning curve with this reality. Based on your tradition, based on your denomination. But I feel like there again, that most within Orthodox Christianity seem to take this sinful slug approach. And so it is difficult to not have an either or mentality. Living as normal human beings, I want you to just think about all the things that I just mentioned, all these examples in the book of Acts. They were living as normal human beings, and then all of a sudden, these men and women were given extra wisdom, extra help, and power to meet the specific challenge before them. Yet every single one of these individuals had to make a choice. Are you tracking with what I'm saying? Peter, you look, and especially when we start looking at Acts chapter 13 and on, these missionary journeys, there was conflict, there was disagreement, there was frustration. These were people struggling, human beings, and yet the Holy Spirit was a part of their lives, but it wasn't always evident. And then at key times when they needed help, it's just like Acts chapter 12 that we talked about with Peter. Peter didn't use the power of the Holy Spirit for himself. God came and intervened in a specific time and place and showed himself real. And so if we're living in this extreme over here where we just think that it's this roller coaster ride every single day and it's just like, I got the Holy Spirit. I've never met anybody that's living like that. And when I've seen them present that kind of lifestyle, most of the time, you know what I find out? Fake, lying, deceptive misrepresentation. Say, Pastor Tim, did you say that? Yeah. I'm old enough. I've watched enough things. So I want you to think about with me what we've talked about. I just want to regurgitate some things. We're going to put this picture up here because I want it to be a reminder. Now, I'm just telling you, I went back to our lesson on Acts chapter 2, and I just reminded myself of some of the things we've already talked about because I think in the context of what we're talking about, it's absolutely important. Look up here at this picture. Jesus is divine. I, as a believer, if you have believed that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you can't get to heaven without him, and you have said, forgive me, change me, be a part of my life, I give you my life, then you fit into here. As a believer, we're the branch. And the Holy Spirit produces his fruit in us. And I want to say this because a lot of our Orthodox traditions would intellectually agree with what I'm saying. But as Chris and I were talking earlier, if we're not careful, what we do is we take these things and then we make it a self-help program because we're trying to do it in the power of our own strength. You get what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to remind you this morning is this. Nope, there it again. That was ugly. Okay, good. I'll just point. I want you to look at this as I read John chapter 15, the words of Jesus, what he said in the NIV. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's not saying that we can create the fruit on our own. I think a lot of times we try to do that. He said, without this connectedness, without this abiding, without this blooming process, that's what John recorded. The Holy Spirit is the power or strength for this abiding, blooming process. Consider the process of fruit production. Allow that concept to sink into your heart and mind. I'm going to say those words again. Abiding, blooming process. Fruit produced by the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. Now, real quick, I want to give a plug. I want to remind you of a resource because I just had another situation this week. Spirit Speak AI. And if you've got your phone, you can pull this out and you can look at it. This is a resource, an app that's been developed by our very own Logan and Allison McCann. And it is a great tool to use. We were talking this week and somebody actually put in, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And when it popped up, it was one of those read out loud, like, whoa, that's really good and helpful. This is a great resource for you to use in your study and in your level of understanding. And if you just type that in, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I think that you'll get some real encouragement. But let's read what the scripture says in Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 26. And it is actually listed in the response there. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Can I ask? You don't have to answer out loud. Is there anybody here that doesn't understand what I just read? Maybe her. Okay, I understand. Think about it. We are in a fight. Every single one of us that have been spiritually birthed, we've been rejuvenated by the Spirit of God, we've been born again, we've been saved, whatever terminology you want to use, we are in a battle, a fight between the flesh and the Spirit. It's not an either or, it's a both. We're in a fight. Some of you, please stop beating yourself up for being a human being. And some of you, somewhere along the way, somebody gave you some teaching that gave you this false idea that you were supposed to live over here. And most of us, we know enough about ourselves where we think we're stuck over here. Okay, I'll keep reading. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses, verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, none of us are going to be shocked by this list. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again. I've said it before. Can I just remind you? You know he's talking to a group of Christ followers here, right? He's not talking to a bunch of pagan, unbelieving, God-rejecting people. Are you tracking with me? He said, I've said it before, I'll say it again. That anyone living that sort of life, if this is your lifestyle, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. The Holy Spirit does. Love, joy, peace. I'm going to stop right there. Can I tell you, over the last 3 to 4 weeks, I've had people look at me specifically in the face and simply say to me, Tim, I just want to be loved. I just want to experience love. I've had somebody look at me and say, I want joy. I want happiness. And probably more than anything else, I regularly have people just look at me and say, Tim, I want peace. I want peace of mind. I just so long for peace. God longs for those things for us more than we do for ourselves. Look what it says. Kindness, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is absolutely no law against these things. Now, I need for some of you especially to really please take note of what is and what is not on the list of the Holy Spirit produced fruit. And we have all different people from all different backgrounds and walks of life in this church family. And so we're having some dynamic, amazing conversations. Please understand, people that have a different background than me have said to me, what winds up happening in a lot of church situations is people begin to make the sign gifts the primary pursuit of their lives. And then what happens is you're chasing the ambulance and you miss actually what the Holy Spirit is trying to produce in our lives, which is incredibly powerful, godly character. Think about what's not on that list and what is. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross, and you've crucified him there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives, where do you work? Where are you employed? Every part of your life. What do you do in your free time? Every part of your life. How are you with your family, your spouse, your children, your brothers and sisters? Every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Now look at the picture again. I want you to take this connectedness picture into your heart while I say this to you and think about it. The balance of a Spirit-filled and controlled life involves Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The God family involvement in our lives. I want to just say it again. We have a steep learning curve, but we have been given the Helper. We're not alone. I'm going to say it again. We are not alone. But we have to be intentional regarding our participation. We have to make certain action steps and choices to participate with the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Our faith must involve some action steps. I just want to give you two. These are so important, and you're going to see them all throughout Scripture. I'm going to use the word yieldingness. Some of you might want to say yieldedness, but I'm going to say yieldingness as the first characteristic, the action step that you need to take. And I want to just say this. Every single one of us in here this morning, yield or submit to someone or something every single day. If you say to yourself, that's not me, then you're lying to yourself. You either yield or submit to the flesh, sin, or temptation, or you are yielding or submitting to the Holy Spirit and Jesus' ways. And let me just say this very clearly. In life, whether you like this or not, there's no middle ground. The flesh, the sin and temptation is typically the domain of the satanic one who resides there. So a lot of times when we make excuses for ourselves, we're really fooling ourselves because there's a lot of black and white choices. So we're either yielding or submitting to one or the other. This battle for yielding is nothing new, and it's a part of our struggle for growth and change. I'm just going to say this. If some of you are looking for the easy button, you're trying to make this fight, this battle easy, there's no easy button here. And I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you and make you think it is. But it's through this battle line of learning, yielding, and learning how to yield that our faith becomes more pertinent, more vital, more real, and more precious to us with each passing day. See, I'm not standing up here telling you these things because I'm a trained orator and this is a good lesson. I'm standing up here trying to share with you things that I'm learning. And this is painful teaching. You get what I'm saying? Painful teaching, but it's beautiful because there's such freedom in it. Let me read Romans chapter 6, 15 through 18 in the NLT. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean that we can go on sinning? The answer, of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Let me say it this way. To whom you yield? To whom you yield? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Thank God. Once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey his teaching that we have given you. Or let me say it this way. We can now wholeheartedly yield to the teaching of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Now you are free from your slavery of your sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. I love being a slave to righteous living. Whew, good stuff. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21, the ESV. Look carefully then how you walk. Brothers and sisters, look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Like never before, brothers and sisters, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of the reverence for Christ. To what or who are you yielding your life? Straightforward, but tough question. And just a reminder, all of us are yielding to something or someone. Second action step I want to give you is sensitivity. So we're talking about yieldingness, now sensitivity. If you write down Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 16, this section of verses is all about how do you maintain spiritual sensitivity. And if you'll be honest with yourself, maintaining spiritual sensitivity is a difficult issue in this battle that we face. I want to give you Hebrews chapter 3, verses 8 through 15, the New American Standard 95. But I want to focus on verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoke me. There's so much to be said here, but if you look at the last days, and if you look at the return, and if you look at all the things from an apocalyptic standpoint, regardless how you interpret it, one of the things that is so clear is these latter times, there will be a hardening of heart, which means there's a loss of spiritual sensitivity. And I don't want us to be part of that group. Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to read it to you. Nothing has changed. Over time, through the years, Old Testament, New Testament, verse 23 through 27, the NIV, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You have to stand guard over your heart and your mind, because that is the seed of your spiritual sensitivity, the seed of it. Keep your mouths free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Keep your foot from evil. In other words, guard your heart, guard your mind, and guard your eyes to live with spiritual sensitivity. We are striving to be a balanced church. A balanced family that is full of the Holy Spirit. We are all still human beings wrapped in flesh, living in a carnal world, but through the forgiveness made available from Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we have the Holy Spirit upon spiritual birth. You've heard me say it before, I'll say it again. I'm striving to be a balanced man, husband, father, grandfather, and a friend who is yielding and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I don't get a free pass. I fight the same battle. I have the same sinful slug struggle. I have the same false presentation of that people have handed off to me about this Holy Spirit connectedness. And so what I'm learning personally is yielding and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When you hear us say the three things, the three attributes, learning, growing, and changing, it is reinforced and promoted through the characteristics of yieldingness and sensitivity. But can I just say, this is not as complicated as we make it. Let's not make it any harder than it needs to be. Let's allow God to do great things on our behalf that He wants to accomplish. Can I just say, God wants great things for us, and He has given us the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, and help us. Let's do it together. Simply put, I got two questions. Will you yield, and will you be sensitive? Hopefully this song that we're going to play will help tie things together. And I'm going to ask you this morning before the song sings, before we play the song, can we just cut all the junk and just be honest with ourselves and be honest with God? While the song's playing or after the song's playing, if you're just ready to yield, maybe for the first time, you're going to believe. I don't know what it is. Maybe you say, Tim, I've asked Jesus to jump into my heart, but I don't know that I've received the Holy Spirit. You come and talk to one of us, and we'll talk through that, and we'll pray. And by faith, you can receive the Holy Spirit right now, today. He can be a part of your life. That's part of the salvation confirmation package that we receive. And maybe you've got things that you haven't been willing to yield. I don't care what it is. God wants you to experience His beautiful presence. We just got to come clean.